Okay. If I have not heard from you, send me an email. I need to hear from you every 3 weeks. Okay, mentor. I am going to send you probably tomorrow the name of a mentor that you can talk to via email. And what these are all alumni that have graduated and have jobs in IT. And so what you've got to do is interview them, basically, and ask them about their jobs, ask them about what they do, find out about it, and then you have to look up a job you think you'd be interested in, and those two things have to go into a paper that you have to pass in. Okay? But the mentors are all, as I said, graduates of our program here, and they're out working in the field. And you saw a couple of them last week. They also do mentoring. But there's a bunch of them. I think I've got something like 30 or 35 graduates that I give them, each 3 or 4 students. And I will give you their email, and so you have to email them. And basically what you have to think about is the questions you'd like to ask them. Now, I will try to some degree to match you up with the option that you have with somebody that's in that option. But because I teach programming, I tend to have a heavier group of programmers than others because I tend to get to know them better because I have them in more classes. And they're all happy to do this. It's interesting. We've been doing it now for about 10 years, and some of them have been doing it for all 10 years. And when I originally called and asked them to do it, nobody said no. They all said, yeah, that sounds good. And so they're all interested in talking to you, interested in sharing their experiences and giving you advice and all that good stuff. So be sure to get in touch with them. The other thing is that the people that were here last week pointed out, contacts are important. You know, you want to have contacts because they help find jobs. And so these people can also be contacts. And if an opening comes up at their company and you said, gee, let me know if there's an opening at your company, maybe they will. And that's always a lead-in into a job. Okay? So I will be sending you out a letter this weekend, probably tomorrow, that at the top, I will send it to both you and the mentor. So look up there at the top at the addresses. The address will be for the mentor, and the address will be for you. So you'll get a letter that that goes to both you and your mentor. And then it's your responsibility to get in touch with them. It's not their responsibility to get in touch. Okay, it's your responsibility to get in touch with them. And I suggest usually in the letter that one way you can introduce yourself is to send them that HTML page that you did already, because that kind of introduces yourself. You don't have to do that, but it's a way of introducing yourself. Okay, I think that's sort of stuff. Today we are going to actually start out learning to program. So we are going to go into programs over on the side here, site resources, programs, and we're going to go into JavaScript, which is the second group down. And today we're going to be doing very simple, straightforward programs. So the first one we're going to click on is hello.html, and it comes up with a pop-up that says hello world, and it also comes up with hello world written over there in the corner. Okay, so I'm going to say okay, and now I'm going to do a view page source. Now, depending on what browser you use, it may say something slightly different than view page source. But if you're using Firefox, which is what I'm using, it's going to say view page source. And I want to go and put that on the sheet. So there it is. Okay, so I'm going to say view page source, and the code comes up. Not one of my favorite changes in Firefox, because it now comes up and it just says view source, and it used to come up in an easier way, but that's the way it comes up. If I want to now see it, okay, I can drag it down, and now I've got the code. Okay, so the code that I'm writing is being embedded in HTML. We've already looked at HTML, and HTML is a markup language, which means it just tells how things should display. HTML is not a programming language because it does not have the ability to ask questions and it does not have the ability to loop. So it's not a programming language. But people just started wanting to have some programming in it. And so what happened was JavaScript was developed, and JavaScript can be embedded in HTML to give it programming power. So when you see an interactive page, that means something's been embedded into the HTML to make it interactive. And JavaScript can be done locally. There is also languages that can be done on the server side if you're working with databases, and those are languages like PHP and so forth. But we're going to be looking at JavaScript. So, I write my HTML, and they're giving it to me in red because they would like me to write that doc type sentence that we did, but that's not a requirement. But I think on the examples I gave you on HTML, it was a doc type HTML on the top line. Okay, so it's not a requirement. The difference is that if you add the doc type, then the browser knows you're using HTML5. If you don't use that, then the browser will use the kind of base HTML that it has. Okay. So, I've got HTML, then on the next line I say script, and that tells the browser that I'm using some kind of script. And then I wrote type equals text JavaScript. So the browser now knows that everything inside the script tags is going to be JavaScript. Okay? And when I'm done with JavaScript, I close the script tag. And in this case, I closed the HTML. I didn't do anything else. I'm just doing JavaScript contained in HTML. Okay, so now I have two commands. One of them is to write on the screen, and that one is going up here. And that's a document write. And that means write on the document. And the document is the area in the screen that you can write on. Okay, so I'm saying on that document, write. What do I want to write? What I put in parentheses. So I want to write what I put into parentheses. Now what I'm writing is a literal. I want to write the literal. This isn't something that I'm saving in memory. It's not a variable. I'm writing a literal. And the literal I'm writing is hello world. So I enclose that in quotes. Okay? So I have the command is document write. And what I want to write is in parentheses. Okay? And then I put a semicolon at the end. Well, what I want to write is a literal in this case. And so the literal goes in quotes. And so I am going to write the literal that says, hello world. Then the alert did a pop-up. and depending on what browser you're using, they may not like pop-ups. So you may have gotten an error message, or it may be yelling at you and asking you if you're sure you want to do it or whatever. Some of them don't like pop-ups, and the alert is a pop-up. And again, the alert is written as alert, and whatever message I want to put up is put inside the parenthesis. And I'm putting the same little hello world inside the parenthesis. Okay? So this particular piece of code simply wrote hello world twice. Once on the screen and once as a pop-up. Now, couple of things to notice. Notice that all of the lines in JavaScript end with a semicolon. If you forget the semicolon, sometimes you can get away with it, sometimes you can't. But it's the best idea to put it in because it's asked for and required. But some browsers are more forgiving than others, and some situations where you forget to put it in are more forgiving than others. So sometimes you can get away with it. When I close my script, I have the slash in front and I close my script and then I close my HTML. Okay? Questions? Okay. Then we are going to look at the second one. And the second one has me doing a multiply. So the multiply comes up, first of all, with a prompt that says, enter the first number. So I'm going to put in, let's say, a 5. And I can just put a 5. Okay. And then I click on OK. And then it says enter the second number. I'm going to put in a 6. And then I click on OK. And it came back and gave me the answer up there at the top, which was 30, because 5 times 6 is 30. Okay. I'm not doing a lot of stuff in these first ones. I'm just doing some very basic stuff and just kind of one thing at a time. Okay? So, again, I need to do a view page source, drag it down, and then I can make it smaller and open it, and you can see the code. Okay. Can you see the code all right, or is it too small? Okay. Bring it up on your own screen if you're having problems seeing it here. Okay, so here I set up, and I've got HTML, and then I said again, script type equals text JavaScript. Technically, you apparently don't need that type equals, but it's a good thing to put in for documentation. But eventually, the default turned out to be JavaScript. So if you don't put it in, it's going to make the assumption of JavaScript. When this first started, they thought they might have more competition, I think. But if you put in script, it will make the assumption of JavaScript. But it's a good idea to put it in. Okay, so I'm setting up some variables here. So in memory, I'm setting up an area called ANS. And I told it it was a variable called ANS and had an original value of 0. Then I set up another memory variable called firstNum. And I gave it a value of 0. And then I set up another memory variable called secondNum, and I gave it a value of 0. So I have 3 variables that I set up. The word there, again, you can get away with not putting it there and just writing out what the variable is and saying answer equals 0. But it is considered better coding to write the word there. Okay? So this is the right way of doing it. And then I put semicolon at the end of each thing. So now I came back and it said, okay, I'm going to put up a prompt. And you saw that prompt come up when it prompted me for a number. Okay, you saw it come up on the screen. That was a prompt. And again, that's a pop-up. Okay, and some browsers, especially I think Explorer more than anything else, will complain about you using pop-ups. Okay, there are other ways of doing it in JavaScript, but they tend to be beyond the scope of, we're just kind of looking at introductory stuff. Okay, any of you that are in the class that runs on Mondays, where I get more into it, will get into the other ways of doing it. Okay, so I have a prompt here. And the prompt had a message when it came up. And the message, if you remember, said, enter the first number. And there was a 0 inside the box. Because remember, the first time I put a 5 in, I put it in and I ended up with the 0, 5, which would have been fine. But I just got rid of the 0 and put the 5 there. So the prompt comes up. And this is, the first thing is the message. And notice that's a literal, so it's in quotes. And this is the content of the box that is on the screen. And whatever you typed in got assigned to first num. Because remember, this is an assignment sign. So whatever you typed in got assigned to first num. And I typed in a 5, so that now became a 5. Okay? Then the next prompt went up and asked me again to enter the second number, and it had a 0 in the box. And I typed in a 6, so I now have a 6 there. Then I did a calculation. And I said answer is going to equal to first num times second num. So I multiplied 5 by 6 and put 30 in answer. And then I wanted to see the answer, so I said document write answer, and you see the answer up there. Now notice that answer isn't in quotes because I want to write the content of the variable. Okay? I want to write the content of the answer variable. And so I don't put it in quotes. If I put it in quotes, what do you think might happen? Yeah.
It'll just show the letters A and S.
Exactly. It would just show the letters A and S, because remember when I put hello world in quotes, it showed hello world. If I put A and S in quotes, it will show A and S. I won't see 30, I'll see A and S. Okay? Questions? Okay. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but we will assume it's good. Okay, the next one says multiply answer, and again, it gave me the prompt, so there it is, and I'm putting in Well, we'll put in 7 this time. Or actually, I put in 70. We'll put in 7 this time. And then I click on X, and I'll put in 2. So I've got 7 times 2, and it's writing out the answer is 14. Okay, so the only difference here is in the document write. I'm now writing out the answer is, so I've got a literal, okay, so I've got a literal there, and then I've got a comma, which is a separator. And then I'm writing out the content of the variable. Okay, so I'm writing out the answer is comma and then A and S. Okay, so that's the only difference. I'm now writing out those two things. Notice that I left a space after the S of the answer is. I put in a space there. That's so I will get a space up here before the 14. Okay, so that they won't run together. They won't run into each other. So I have the space in there to get me the space that I want to see. Okay. Questions. Okay, so I've got this code and I'm just going to copy this code. So I've got the code. Remember how I write? I open it up in Notepad and I write the code in Notepad. So I've just got the code that I'm saving there. Then I say file, save as, and I put it someplace, and I'm going to put it on my E drive. And so I'm going to say first A, or something like that, full 16, or whatever I want to call it. And I'm putting a .html extension on it. Okay, so I've got the code up there, and I'm going to save it as first a fall 16.html. Okay, so now I'm clicking on the save, and I'm saving it on my E drive. Okay. So now I can go to a browser and I'm going to say Control O and I'm going to my E drive and I am going to look for first A fall 16, and there it is. So I'm going to click on that, and it just opened. And now I can run it and put in the numbers that I want. And so I'm putting in, come on, you can do it. I'm putting in, let's say, 3 and 4, and I'm getting the answer is 12. Whoops. I thought I was getting my source wrong. I wasn't paying enough attention. View page source. There we go. Okay, so there's the code. Okay, So, I would like you to do this, only let's do a divide or a subtract. Don't do addition, please. Believe it or not, addition is the hardest thing to do. I would like you to write it from scratch. Don't copy and paste. Basically, write something very similar to this and write it in Notepad. Save it with a .html extension. Open it in a browser and see if it's working. If you know a little bit about this and you want to get more creative, feel free. You can multiply together and then divide by something and get more mathematical or whatever you want to do. If you have any questions, Eric and I are getting bored.
Pardon me?
Slash.
Oh, slash?
Yep. Slash is for division. So if you want to change this to division, you use the slash. And hyphen is for, no, subtract. So slash is if you want to divide. A hyphen is if you want to subtract. And a plus is if you want to add, except there's some bells and whistles, some stuff we have to talk about in the end, so don't do an and unless you know what you're doing. Save it, open it up, save it with a .html extension and open it up in the browser so that you get it working right. When I'm writing this code, I usually keep Notepad open and I keep a browser open so that I can go back and forth between Notepad and the browser to make changes, see what their impact was, make changes, see what their impact was, and so forth. Questions? You look like you had a question. You need to save it with a .html extension because that's what tells the browser that you wrote something in .html. So you have to save it with a .html extension. If you save it with .text, when it gets opened, it will just load what you wrote. So you have to save it with a .html extension. Actually, .htm works too, but .html is what most people use. There's an attendance sheet floating around someplace. Did you guys sign it? Everybody signed this?
I need it.
Getting it up to see the answer, let Eric or I know.
The answer is infinity. Try dividing by zero.
Yes.
The 20 pad is supposed to be where you put out a message. Yeah, to say this is what I want you to enter. P-R-O-N-G. So what you put in there is enter first or something like that. Inside quotes. Okay, enter number has to be okay. Just a sec. Notice up here, and maybe you can't see it up here, but it reads prompt parenthesis And then there is the double quote, enter the first number or whatever you want to put, close the double quote, comma, zero. Okay, and then close parenthesis. Yeah. No, the answer has to be a one. Oh, I'm sorry, you've already done the calculation. So just get rid of the equal sign. If you want answer, okay, you don't answer it. So give me that first and second number.
I wanted to show the whole problem.
Okay, then you have to have, okay. You would write, you want to show the whole thing, you write first number, comma, and then in quotes, a plus sign, comma, second number, comma, in quotes, the equal sign, comma, answer. Okay? So, you may change your mind about wanting to see the whole thing. Okay, so enter number, yes, that's right. Enter number two, that's right. And then answer equals first, and you didn't spell first right. Nope, yeah, right, okay. Second number, okay, then document right, answer, quotes, comments, okay, try that and save it and see. At least you got that. Yep, okay. JavaScript, if it doesn't like what it told you to do, gives you the white screen of death, which means it gave up, and it's your problem. And we will talk about how to deal with the white screen of death, but right now you just got to go back in and look at it and try to figure out what went wrong. I'll call Eric and I over. Okay, has everybody got something? Yeah.
My answer keeps coming out of zero.
Okay, answer equals first number times second number times third number. That certainly should do it. The answer you can bring for is answer. And, okay. First, F-I-R-S-T.
Did you save it as HTML
right.
First?
Yeah.
And if you saved it in the desktop, I have the desktop.
Okay, try it now.
Where have you been spelling these from? Might be here. There it is. Okay, come back. Good time. Hey, hold on. Can I show you?
It's a matter of spelling. Okay. This is the flow chart that would, yeah, question. Okay. The white screen of death, lucky you.
You did something wrong then. Open, go back to notepad.
You should open it with notepad.
It is.
That's the other one.
Times second divided by three and then put a semicolon at the end of that. So I think that's probably the word. So you want to put a semicolon. And then when you save it, you save it as. So now it's probably a command.
It's there.
Half the problem is spelled. Come and look at it, or Eric, you want to come and look at this while I continue on and see if you can see what it is. Okay, so this is the flow chart that goes with this, where I said define the variables, and so the define the variables I did with that, and then it says prompt for the first, prompt for the second, do the calculation, write it out. Now, would I actually probably make a flow chart for that? No, because it's pretty straightforward, but I would make a, what was it?
The document right was typed in wrong.
I told you it was going to be spelling. It's just I can't spell either, so.
You put a space on a document, space right instead of document.
Okay, okay. So, if I were to draw a flow chart, I would draw the flow chart first, which tells me what do you want to do first, define your variables. What do you want to do for next, prompt for the first number, prompt for the second number, do my calculation, write out the answer. So I technically would be doing the flowchart first and then taking and doing the code that matches with what I said I needed to do on the flowchart. Okay? Now, as I said, would I probably write a flowchart for something this easy? Probably not. But if I needed to think through what I wanted to do, that's the way I can do it. Okay. So now we're going to go and look at the next one. Only we're not. Do I have something up here somewhere? Yes. Okay, so the next one says add num. So I'm putting in a 4 and then I'm putting in a 5, we'll say. And I'm adding the numbers. Wait a minute, I thought I already did that. Apparently I put in 5 and 5 because I didn't click on the right things. Okay, so I put in 5 and 5. So, one place I have 5, I added 5 and 5, and one place I'm saying the answer is 55. And the other place is saying the answer is 10. Okay, so what happened here? The plus sign can stand for either concatenate or add. Okay, so I took in and I've got answer. And then I've got other answer, first num and second num. And I prompted for first num, I prompted for second num, and then I said, okay, answer equals first num plus second num, and document write, and I'm writing out the answer is answer. And what do I get? I'm getting 55. Which means that what it did was concatenate. And concatenate means put two things together as one. So I ended a 5, I ended another 5, it concatenated them next to each other, and I got 5, 5. Okay? The problem is the plus can mean either concatenate or add. So, the plus is the symbol to concatenate two things together. The plus is also the symbol to add two things together. Talk about foolish. But anyway, a lot of languages use an ampersand when they want to concatenate or something else, which is a lot better than using the plus. In my humble opinion. But anyway, a plus can mean either. So what you have to do is convince the browser that you want to add. And the way you convince the browser you want to add is make sure the browser knows that these are numbers. And one way to tell the browser that these are numbers is parse float. And that would allow for decimal numbers. Parse integer allows for whole numbers. So parse float and then putting first num in parentheses. And parse float and putting second num in parentheses tells the browser that you are adding, because these are two numbers. It tells the browser to add because it's dealing with two numbers. And so it then does an add. Okay? If I don't tell it anything, which is what I did up here where I said answer equals first num plus second num, the browser decided to default and to concatenate. And concatenate tends to be the default. Yeah.
So is it possible to skip like the entire 55 part?
Sure. I just put them both in so you know. So basically what you'd want to do is cut out those two lines. So then I said parse float, add them together and get other answer. Now I wanted to skip down to the next line. So this says document write BR, and that means skip a line. Now you recognize BR as an HTML tag. Okay, so I'm saying document write, and I'm saying put in quotes the BR. So that means literally, the literal, quotes means it's a literal. I want to write the BR. Well, what happens when you write BR in HTML? It translates it to skip a line. So this will translate to skip a line. Okay? Take the literal BR and do in the HTML what a BR should be done, which is skip down to the next line. And so that will skip down a line. And then I write out the other answer, and other answer will write the line 10, which is 5 plus 5 equals 10. Okay? Obviously, if you, I did it both ways here just to show. If I was really doing an add, then I would just skip these two lines. Okay, because these two lines are doing the concatenate. And if I skip those two lines, then I will get, and I'd skip the document write BR, although I can keep that if I want to. Yeah.
Do you need to write document right before you write anything?
Yes. There are other ways to get things out too, but for our purposes, yes. Okay, document right means write onto the document. Okay? Questions? Yeah.
So when you would skip the concatenate, you would still have to put it in the script and then just do the break and just display it.
Yeah, no, I could skip the break too because I just want to write out one thing, so I can skip that as well.
So it would just be display other answer.
Right. Okay. Well, I'd first have to calculate it, so I'd keep the other answer and then display it, yeah. If I kept the BR, then it would move down one line and I would write on the second line, which, you know, isn't that bad, but it would just write it on the second line. Okay. Questions? And then the next one, add num continued, and I will put in 5 and 6. and so it gives me 56, and then 11. So on this one, I've got it a whole load of ways. The first one is concatenating. The second one, I did the parse float. The next one, I did a plus sign instead of the parse float. That also works. That also convinced the browser that you are doing an addition. The next one, I wrote the word number. That also can be used to convince the browser. And then there is parse integer. It's parse int, right, Eric?
Parse, yeah.
You don't have to write out integer. But somehow I looked at it and said, wait a minute, am I supposed to write integer or not? That's why I give open notebooks tests, is because sometimes I stop and say, oops, am I supposed to write out the whole word integer, or is it just int? And I have to look it up and find out, or ask Eric. So anyway, those are a variety of ways of convincing it that you want to add. Parse integer, parse float, putting a plus sign in front, putting the word number in front. Now, JavaScript is incredibly case sensitive. It is very, very, very case sensitive. So, if, okay, it's very case sensitive. So, parse float has to be parse with a capital F. You can't have a lowercase f there, it's got to be capital F. Parse integer has to have a capital I. Down here, number has to have a capital M. Okay? Who came up with that brilliant idea? I have no idea. But, and it's why I never use it, because I find it annoying that I have to remember to put a capital N there, so I use another way of doing it. But it is very case sensitive. And spelling wrong and case sensitive tend to be two of the major reasons why people get the white screen of death. Okay? Just little callous mistakes like that, yeah.
So this is showing us the three different ways that you can show it to really add them?
Yes. Actually, four different ways when you throw in parse integer. Okay? And you can just pick your favorite. I tend to like parse float, probably because that was the way I learned first. And you tend to be old habits stick around. Okay, the next one is math answer that I'm looking at. And it says enter the first number, so I'm going to enter an 8. And hit OK. And enter a 4 and hit OK. And now it's saying either enter a asterisk, which is multiply, or a slash, which is divide. So I'm going to enter the asterisk and say OK, and I'm getting the answer of 32. And I have no idea why I'm getting this wonderful thing down there. Now it went away. Nice. I would suggest that you bring this up and look at the code. Okay. So I put in an 8, a 4, and an asterisk. So 8, 4, asterisk, 8 times 4 is 32. Now what I did there is if you look at the flowchart, I said stat. I took in the variables, so I'm just going to write var to mean I took in the variables. I prompted for first num, I prompted for second, and I don't have to write the words in the flowchart because I frequently do the flowchart before I know what the words are going to be. And then I prompted for what to do. And now I'm testing what to do. And so I'm doing a test here, and this is my if statement. And I'm saying if what to do equals. So, equals in JavaScript, one equal sign is an assignment sign. If I want to compare two things, I use a double equals. And that allows me to compare. So what I want to do here is look to see whether people typed in an asterisk or a slash. So I'm saying if what to do equals an asterisk. Okay, so I'm testing to see if what to do is equal to an asterisk. And if it's equal to an asterisk, then I'm doing a multiply. And again, I'm not putting the whole thing in there because the boxes are too small. And else, if I means if I got a no, I am going to do a divide. And then I close these up and I do a write and I stop. Okay, so I came in and I said, define the variables, take in the first number, take in the second number, take in what to do. If what to do is an asterisk, I multiply, else I divide. And then I do a document write where I say the answer is answer. Okay. Now, what would happen if I put in a minus sign instead of an asterisk or a slash? If I put in a minus, yeah.
It would divide.
It would divide. Because the only thing I'm asking here is it equal to an asterisk? If it's an asterisk, I multiply. Else, meaning any other key that you hit, it's going to do a divide. Okay? Any other key that you hit, it's going to do a divide. So, if I were really being good on this, I should take my if statement, and my if statement should be expanded such that I asked, is what to do equal to an asterisk? If it is, multiply. Otherwise, if I get a no, ask the next question. If what to do is equal to a slash, then do a divide. Otherwise, put out, it's an error. So if I want to make sure that people put in the right thing, I need to ask specifically. If it's not an asterisk, is it a slash? Yes, ma'am.
On the what to do equals prompt, how come after the asterisk or divide, there's two quotes after the comma?
Okay, where are you?
In the what to do?
Oh, that, okay, yes. What to do equals prompt because I want nothing in the box.
Oh.
So quote, quote gets me nothing in the box. Okay. So quote, quote, she's talking about this quote, quote right there. That quote, quote means put nothing in the box. This meant put zero, put zero. This meant put nothing in the box. Quote, quote is nothing. right next to each other. It is null or nothing. Okay, so now what I've got to do is I've got to take this and I'm going to put it in Notepad. And I will change the font and make it a little bit bigger. Okay, so now I've got to fix this up. So if what to do equals an asterisk, I want to do a multiply, else. Now notice first of all, that what I want to do if it's true is enclosed in curly braces. And what I want to do if it's false is also enclosed in curly braces. Okay? Those curly braces basically let me put as many commands in there as I want if I want to do if it's true, what I want to do if it's false. And so the curly braces enclose the things to do if it's true and the things to do if it's false. Okay? So these two mean true and these two mean what I want to do if it's false. So now I'm going to fix this up. So I'm going to say, okay, else if it's false, I want to come down here and I want to ask another question. So I'm going to ask if what to do equals a slash. Okay, so I've asked if what to do equals a slash. And if it does, then I want to put in a curly brace and I want to do answer equals and do the divide. And I'm all set there. Okay? So if what to do equals a slash, and I haven't finished yet, if what to do equals a slash, I want to write out answer equals first num divided by second num. If it doesn't equal a slash, then I have else, and I want to say, maybe I can say answer equals zero, or I can say answer equals a problem, or whatever I want to put there. And notice I've got to close up all of the curly braces that I opened. So, what I've got here is these two curly braces go together. This is what I want to do if it's true. Else, this is what I want to do if it's false. If it's false, I want to ask another question. And if the other question is true, this is what I want to do. And if the other question is false, that's what I want to do. Notice that the if statement does not have curly braces. Notice that the if statement does not have a semicolon after it. And that's because it's not done. All of the stuff below go with the if statement, so it's not done. But notice that the calculation statements have a semicolon after them because they are done. The calculation is done. But the if statement isn't done because all of the stuff below it are part of the if. Okay? And it matches up the curly braces, and that's how it knows that it's done, when the last false is done. Does that make sense? So again, if I look at the logic as far as the flowchart is concerned, I'm asking, first of all, is it an asterisk? And if it is, then I want to multiply. And notice I've basically got a curly brace here and a curly brace here. If the answer is no, then I'm going to have a curly brace and another curly brace wherever it shows up to show what I want to do if it's no. If the answer is no, I'm asking, is it a slash? And if it is, I do a divide. If it isn't, I put out a zero. Or actually, I guess I should make a square. Those should be squares. Because I'm going to write afterward. So here's a curly brace, there's a curly brace, here's a curly brace, there's a curly brace, and there's a curly brace down at the bottom. And eventually I'm going to write. So my if statements, I decide what I want to do if it's true, what I want to do if it's false. And I put those in curly braces. In false, I wanted to ask another question. So I went ahead and did that. Okay. We've got about 7 minutes. I want you to start thinking about and do, and anybody that brings it in next Tuesday gets extra credit, or sends it to me, rather, before class next Tuesday gets extra credit. I want you to take in and say, enter an asterisk or a slash or a plus or a minus, so they can enter any of the four. Okay? And if they enter any of the four, then I've got to say if what to do equals slash. If it does, I put out the divide. Else, I've got to ask about the plus. And if it's a plus, I do something. And if it's not a plus, I say else, is it a minus? And if it is, I do something, and else I put out the zero, or you could put out a literal that said error. Either one. So the first step to do that would be to draw the flowchart. If it's an asterisk, no. If it's a slash, no. I can put a no in there. So down here I would be asking, is it a plus? And if I get a no to a plus, then I'd be asking, is it a minus? Okay? So start working on the logic of that and see if you can figure it out. We will look at it first thing Tuesday. So if it isn't emailed to me before class starts Tuesday, it don't count for extra credit. Okay? So email it to me before class starts on Tuesday, and if you got it right, I'll give you extra credit. If you made a good try, I'll give you partial extra credit. If it's horrible, I won't. Okay? Yeah.
Do we need to have the flowchart included?
No. But I would suggest thinking it through with the flowchart. I just think that's an easier way to think it through. So go ahead and... I'm done talking. You can start working on it and ask Eric and I questions if you have problems with the logic. But I want you to come up with a way of testing for addition, subtraction, multiplication, or division. Any of the four. And that's kind of tricky when you get all those curly braces involved. So I think I've given you a challenging problem.